So a couple of... and some... should clear it right up. And if that doesn't work, then I'll prescribe some... and that should do the trick.
Oh, thanks, Doc.
Just what the doc ordered, thanks to our friends at the Department of Conservation.
Yes, it's time for Just What the Doc Ordered. Today we're joined by Principal Taraiti Ranger Sol Crenna-Smith. Morena.
Kia ora, how are you going?
Yeah, good, how are you?
I'm very good, a little bit wet, but
it's
good.
A bit soggy out there, isn't it? But alas, there's nature to talk about. we're chatting about the Taraiti, which is the New Zealand fairy tern. Rarest bird in the country?
The official phrase is the rarest endemic breeding bird in the country.
But
you can probably get away with the rarest bird in the country.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. There's about 55 individuals out there at the moment.
Which is more than last time I checked. Yeah. I'm a bit of a fairy tern fangirl.
an enthusiast, if you will.
I love them, and I think we should all be voting for them in Bird of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
That's just my hot take for the morning. But they're beautiful little birds. Tell us a little bit more about them.
Well, the most famous thing about them is that there's only 55 left, which is a shame because there are lots of other cool things about them. they are our smallest tern species, smallest endemic tern species in New Zealand. They have a beautiful little bit of mascara over their eyes, which is how you can tell them from other terns. They have this they have this hilarious kind of way about them when you sort of spend a lot of time looking at them, where they kind of move at a very glacial pace, and they have that sort of this unbothered attitude, which
sounds like my kind of bird.
yeah, when you see them walking around the aviary and stuff, it's like, are you guys sort of planning on doing anything or just kind of hanging out? But
so
super cute species, but that probably is sort of why there aren't too many left. Super unbothered, super chilled out.
The odds are stacked against them a little bit with the predators as well, though.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a bit of a problem this season too. But, rats, stoats, possums, anything, we'll eat them. They're like a little chicken nugget, you know?
Breaks your heart.
It does.
Tell us a little bit about your mahi as principal ranger and what it is that you do on a day-to-day.
So I'm sort of... the stuff I do is kind of the people leadership side of the program. So I tell all the people... I sort of boss all the people around who actually do all the actual work.
Yeah.
Sort of manage all the kind of like the logistics around, making decisions around like moving eggs around and chicks around and all that kind of thing. So yeah, super, super interesting. And it can be high stakes at times, you know, when you have to decide whether to go out there and get an egg or get a chick and bring it out of the wild, because, sort of has its own impacts on the parents. So bit of a
high stakes
one.
Yeah, for sure. What's the sort of strategy look like trying to increase population in eggs and chicks?
So we have two kind of streams when we go into a breeding season. So we have our captive program and our wild sites as well. So the birds are found kind of up north of Auckland and then sort of Waipu as well, Mangawhai kind of area. And so that's where kind of all the wild sites are based, and we have rangers, like summer rangers, looking at them kind of intensively, like monitoring them, their behaviour, the adults' behaviour, that kind of thing. So we know every single egg that goes onto the ground, hopefully. And then when sort of threats arise, like this season we had a bit of an issue with rats at one of our sites, so we made a decision at one point to bring some of the eggs in. And then sort of when the threats kind of pass, we can take them back out again. Some of the eggs that we take in become part of our captive breeding program. So we take them in, take them down to Auckland Zoo, which is a hell of a drive if you're driving from, you know, South Head or Waipu or whatever with a tiny little incubator with one single or two little eggs.
Oh my gosh.
That are the size of a, you know, like a peanut.
Just
almost.
Easy over those speed bumps, eh?
Exactly, yeah. There are a lot on that drive when you come off the motorway, and it's just
I actually think you might have the most stressful job in New Zealand.
I don't know about that. I love doing it, you know, like, it's not all bad.
And so once you get them to Auckland Zoo, are they being raised in full captivity for their life?
So they start off, so the zoo do a fantastic job incubating the eggs, then they monitor them hatching and all that, and then they spend a week to 2 weeks at the zoo, so they'll be fed on at regular intervals with live fish so that they can kind of learn how to hunt and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I went and saw them this season, And they just kind of, you know, mill around in this little paint tray with the fish swimming around, and they're like, oh, yeah, all right, I'll eat this one, I guess. And
it's like school.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then after that, we take them up to our captive rearing aviary, aviary up in Te Arai. They sort of learn, it's like an open top aviary, and so they can sort of, when they learn to fly, they can fly in and out, and they sort of continue learning to hunt and stuff there as well. So yeah. Sort of a slow process getting them out back into the wild, which is,
For anyone listening at home who is perhaps a Tara'iti enthusiast like Millie, or just wants to get involved and help out, like help these little underdog birds increase their populations, are there ways in which the public can support the sort of efforts to increase populations?
Voting for them in Bird of the Year is huge.
Oh yeah.
Yep, yes. So keep doing that. For the Tara'iti specifically, I mean, if you're spending lots of time up in those areas, your Pākeri, Mangawhai, Waipu, those kind of areas, surfing or whatever, it's important to be mindful of those kind of cordoned off areas, because the Tara'iti eggs, as you can imagine, are like so small and they camouflage really well into sand. So even if you're like a metre away, you probably won't be able to see it unless you kind of know what you're looking for.
Oh, wow.
So stay out of the cordoned areas entirely. Even if you disturb the adults or whatever, you know, they can fly off and then abandon their eggs, and we don't want that either. So, just being really conscious of those cordoned off areas. And, that's in terms of the Tara'iti specifically, that's kind of the extent of it, because there's so few left. But in terms of, in general, New Zealand species, like, there's always value in putting traps up at your house and getting involved with your local community groups, that kind of thing. So, heaps of things you can do.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if people want to find out more info about the Tara'iti, they can head to Doc's website, right? There's lots of info there.
Yeah, lots of stuff up on the website.
They're so awesome. You might have just started something. I've tried to stay neutral in the Bird of the Year campaign.
We officially have to stay neutral because we're not allowed to pick favourites, but in my personal life, I also will vote for the Bird of the Year. So.
These are beautiful little birds. If you haven't seen them before, head along to Doc's website, have a little look at them, have a read.
Yes.
Also, just to butt in, sorry, the creature teacher guy on Instagram recently did an episode on the Tara'iti, and you can see videos of the chicks on there as well.
Cool.
He's so cool.
Yeah.
Andy.
Mean. Hey, thank you so much, Sol, for coming up for a kōrero. So cool to learn a little bit about your mahi and more about the Tara'iti.
Yes. No worries, lovely to be on.
Thank you, Sol.
That was Just What the Doc Ordered. Thanks to our friends at the Department of Conservation.